Corinthians chapter 6. I'm going to read verses 12 to the end of that chapter, verse 20. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 6, beginning with verse 12, reading through verse 20. And this, dear people, as you know, it is the word of God. And therefore, it is the most important word to have and to hold. Let's hear from God, given to the Apostle Paul, to the Corinthians, and now to us. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 12. All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Meat for the belly, belly for meat. But God shall destroy both it and them. Now the body is not for fornication, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. And God has both raised up the Lord and will also raise up us by his own power. Know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them the members of a harlot? God forbid. What? Know ye not that he which is joined to a harlot is one body? For two, saith he, shall be one flesh. But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. Flee fornication. Every sin that a man does is without the body. But he that commits fornication sins against his own body. What? Know ye not? Your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God. You are not your own. You were bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's. May God bless this portion of his word to us. Lord, it's pretty clear what you're saying here. It needs to just ring true for us more and more. Protect us through your word, Lord. Strengthen us through your spirit. Bring grace into our lives more and more. The day is evil, but thou art good. And this we ask and pray and say in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Before we ask and answer questions concerning the seventh commandment, and I think we all understand the negatives the commandment has in view. And in fact, it's summed up very succinctly here in verse 18 at the the first couple of words, flee fornication. Every sin is without, but this one is really pretty terrible. It's a commitment that is extremely serious, at least to God. And that is what counts. So we all know that the commandment covers that. Fornication, porneia, covers pornography. That's how we get a word. It covers pornography. It covers the act of fornication itself, and adultery, homosexuality. It covers all kinds of stuff I don't even want to mention. All of that. We all know the negatives about this commandment. We've heard about them. But what is the commandment saying that is positive You know, God is not just telling us to flee one thing and not go to something else. So, it's called in another place by the apostle, the put-offs and the put-ons. God does tell us to put off certain behaviors, like crime and lust and covetousness and idolatry. But we ought to put on other behaviors, good behaviors, replace them. Fill our lives with that which is approved of by God. And this is no exception. These commandments say, do not do this, but they imply to do something else. And also, it's one thing to say, avoid or flee immorality, but you need to therefore put on morality. And so I want to talk about three positive things others have pointed out, and it's been called the three C's that this commandment, the letter C, that this commandment is calling us to. Then the first C is Christ. The second C is chastity. And the third C is caring. Well, the first C is Christ. What is this commandment? Really all the commandments, but this one in particular, telling us to do when it comes to our, not only our spirit, but our body. As Paul says here, they belong to God, right? They were purchased. You no longer belong to yourself or to the world or to whatever. You belong to God. Christ died for you. He purchased you. And he wants you to understand that you have a relationship with him that is intimate. Remember what Paul said in Ephesians chapter 5 concerning marriage, right? The husband and the wife are to become one flesh. Now, it just doesn't refer to the physical thing. It also refers to the spiritual, the psychological, the emotion. They become one. They become a unit in everything. Their relationship is the most intimate that they'll ever be, that they'll ever be in. And it's terrible how people are destroying marriage these days, advocating for the destruction of marriage. They're doing it in so many ways. And there are many broken homes, broken families, which is probably one of the major factors why there is this, these mass murders and these murderers and all this kind of odd behavior. There's the family unit is broken. But God is calling the family unit. He's calling the husband and the wife together in an intimate relationship and emphasizing that relationship to reflect the more marvelous relationship that Christ has, the groom, to his bride, the church. Right? Our marriage is to reflect husbands and wives. Their relationship, their intimacy is to reflect the marriage of Christ with his church. And that is, of course, the greater point there. And so the first thing that this commandment is calling us to is to remember that relationship that Christ has with you, his people. Whether you are married or single, young or old. The relationship, the intimate relationship that Jesus Christ has with His church and with His people is what you're called to reflect on. And if you reflect on this relationship and cultivate this relationship in your life, then the pleasures and sins and the allurements and the lust and the depravity of this world and its behaviors will fade, will become less attractive, because your delight in the relationship, the most important relationship of all, is your relationship to Jesus. And when you commit such sin, these kind of sins, it fractures that relationship. And it keeps you back from praying, from listening to His Word, from wanting to listen to His Word, from wanting to establish it in your life. You know, it just doesn't work. So God is calling us through this commandment for all of us, husbands, wives, married, singles, young people, to flee idolatry, to flee fornication, to flee lust and the pleasures of this world by fleeing to Christ. Fleeing to the relationship that you have as you talk to Jesus. If you're praying, if you're reading His Word, if you're supping at His table, you're not going to be inclined to do those things. If you rather hear Christ, because that's the most important relation to you, then you're not going to listen to all these people that are telling you to do different things. And I want to emphasize this in the main to young people. To singles, in particular, teenagers and young adults, but even the unmarried, that you need to reflect on your relationship and the intimate relationship that you have with Jesus Christ who died for you more than you do. And that will help you to be satisfied. You see, you want to seek the treasures that last, not the pleasures that are short-lived, that ruin your life and the life of others, that chip away at your conscience, your integrity, your morality, your character, the things that really matter, and those sick and twisted pleasures that this world pushes in your face, talking to the youngsters, but all of us really as well. You want to seek the treasures that last rather than the pleasures that don't. And you can't be doing both. The emphasis on this commandment, all the commandments, is Christ. It's Christ first. Seek Him. Seek His treasures, everlasting. And you know what happens? Instead of gaining happiness and pleasure for the moment, you gain joy. Deep-seated joy and peace and comfort.
When you know you're doing the right thing because God has said so and Christ is delighted with you, it matters. But again, you have to have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. That has to be it. You see, you need to be born again. This needs to be a reality. You can't make this up. You can't conjure this. You can't manipulate this. Just like church. You have to want to be here in order to get something out of it. If you don't want to be here, you're not going to get much, if anything, out of it. It's the same with Christ. Not really you become your all in all, everything to me, and when I sin, Lord, and I sin all the time, I'm disappointed. I don't like myself. I can't talk to you right now, Lord, because I just willfully committed this sin. And it could be anger, an outburst of some sort. It could be a lust that you got into, or the bad thinking, or watching something that's bad, whatever it may be. And I just can't talk to you now. And that just breaks your heart. That's what happens when you have a real relationship with Jesus. So that's the first thing. The second thing, and it sort of comes right on the heels of this, is chastity. And usually when chastity, you think of young people, you think of people that are keeping themselves until they get married. The chastity, the idea of chastity actually comes from the word purity. The Bible talks about purity. And purity refers to chastity, of course, but it also refers to a pure heart, thoughts, character. It's basically what Jesus says when he said in the Sermon on the Mount, "Blessed are the pure in heart, they shall see God." And that's what the commandment is calling us to. Yes, chastity if you're single, and if you're young but also unmarried, if you're a little older as well, doesn't matter. It's calling you to be pure. Be pure. God loves purity. God loves holiness. He loves godliness. You are his son. You are a father of Zion, a son of Zion, a mother and a daughter of Zion. You are a citizen of the kingdom of God, the church of Jesus Christ on earth. You are to keep yourself pure. The Bible talks about keep yourself from being polluted by this world. When I hear that word polluted, I just don't think of polluted water that, might run in the street. But I think of the New York sewers. Did you hear about them? They say they have rats down there that are bigger than cats, bigger than dogs. They even say they have alligators. I don't know if that's true. Probably not. It's too cold. But they have, it's slimy. It's green in some spots. It's green. I've been down there. It's slimy. It's thick. The sewer water. It's just terrible. It's something that is repulsive. God is saying here that I'm calling you to purity because what the world is into, what young people especially, single people especially, are being called to do and to think and to watch on the internet and on television and hearing the songs and all that is like sewer, like New York sewer water.
It's dirty. It's filthy. It blackens. It's not healthy. It's not healthy. He's calling you to health in your body. You can't have a healthy soul without having a healthy body. From that point of view, from the purity point of view, from the chastity point of view. You want to have a healthy soul, then you have to do healthy things with your body. You can't allow the world to pollute it like it's doing. Brothers and sisters, fathers and mothers, grandfathers and grandmothers, that's what they're doing. They're polluting our minds, yes, but the minds of our sons and daughters. May I say this? I don't know if you hear it much or think it much. Virginity is a beautiful thing, being a virgin. A man or a woman. It's special. It's precious. Paul's talking about here. It's God wants. He's calling us to be pure, to be the citizens of his kingdom, to be fathers and sons and mothers and daughters of his kingdom. Glorify God in your body as well as your spirit, because both belong to God now. And he's going to take your body and he's going to renew it, yes. But now's the time to start behaving. It helps your soul. It's good preparation. And by the way, it doesn't exclude the married. The married are pure. They are holy. God says, only the marriage bed. Only the marriage bed. Please remember this. It's very simple to remember. You can memorize it in Hebrews. It's in Hebrews. Only the marriage bed is pure. That's it. Doesn't matter what the world says. Doesn't matter what you think. It doesn't matter what anyone says or thinks. Only, it matters what God says. And he says, only the marriage bed is pure. So you're kept pure in marriage. And nowhere else. Single people, you wait. Unmarried, you wait. Why? Because he cares, because you care, right? This commandment is calling us to care. Care first about what God says, what God thinks. Care about what he cares about. Replace all the cares of this world with that. Now, when you hear the word care in the scripture, oftentimes it means be anxious. You know, Martha, Martha, you careth about many things, but the one thing that matters is what Jesus is saying, what Jesus is teaching, right? Like what Mary was doing, sitting at his feet. In this particular case, in 1 Corinthians 7, for example, when Paul says, but I would have you without carefulness. He that is unmarried cares for the things that belong to the Lord, how he shall please the Lord. The unmarried woman cares for the things of the Lord, that she may be holy, both in body and in spirit. The word care, the way Paul is using it in 1 Corinthians 7, the chapter that follows, is not referring to being anxious, but it's referring to being careful about that which is physical and that which is spiritual. It means to be consumed. And that's why he says, he talks about in the following chapter, the unmarried can care about the things of the Lord more than the married. They can be consumed by the things of God more than the married, because the married people have to care about, you know, the kids and the household and many things, each other. And there's a lot of things that go into a marriage that are important things, but they're things that take us our attention and focus it more on each other and ourselves and the children and all that. But if you're single, you say, if you're unmarried, then you be consumed with God. Your all your attention is given to God until someone else comes along to marry. And so the commandment is calling for us to care, and it uses the single status to point that out, that we are to be consumed by God. Of course, married people are to be consumed by God too. The single, it's easier for the single to do it than for the married, what Paul is saying. It's better not to be married, but not many people have that gift. But we're all to be consumed as much as possible and care about God and what He thinks and what He says. And then we go to care for one another. Care for others. Think of the other more better than yourself. In other words, you know, you open the door and let that person in first. You give that person the opportunity to expand his gifts and his talents and his abilities and be useful to the Lord. You care about someone else. It's not me, 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 I. It's now you. And so you care, you're called to care about one another. And if you care about one another, if you care about, like I'm a father in the house of God, I care about the family of God. I care about my peers and age, that is, and I care about, particularly care about the young people. I care about them so much. I pray for them so often. Every time I see them, I want to go up and hug them. I really do. I just love them. But imagine if I didn't care about their purity. If I didn't care about whether I lied to them or told them something that was untrue just to get my way or manipulate. What would you think of me as a father in the church to be an example? See, When you get physical with someone outside of marriage, you don't care about that person. You're using that person. You're hurting that person and yourself. You gotta care about the person so you don't do that. You never, never do that to the person. I never lie. I never cheat. I never bear false witness, especially to a youngster. Because I care. And that's what God is calling us to in this commandment, to care about the other person, spiritually, physically as well. Don't do anything harmful or hurtful. Don't touch them the wrong way. Because you care. You want to make them lovely for Jesus. That's what this commandment is calling. Now, it's a high calling, I know. We're not perfect with this. We do things wrong and we fail at this. But that's no excuse to not care about first about Jesus and then about each other. And if you heed what this commandment is telling us to do positively, telling us to do. To focus on Christ and your relationship with Him. To focus on purity, making yourself pure and all others around you pure. And caring. Caring about Jesus and the church for which Jesus died. The people for which Jesus died and cared about them. It will go a long way to improving your life and their lives. And obeying the spirit of this commandment. Remember, you were bought at a price. You belong to another. You belong to Jesus. Spirit and body. Let's pray. Heavenly Lord, bless us on our way. Bless us this day. We are thankful for our families. We do not want, we care about them and so much, and it's rightfully so, to do all things well for them. To say things and to do things that are pleasing in your sight, one for another. It's pleasing that we get together today as fathers and sons and family members and rejoice in our status as the fathers and sons and mothers and daughters as well of Zion. And we are thankful to you, O God, that you have made this the case. And you have revealed to us such wonderful truths. We will have and we will hold all the days of our lives by grace through faith in Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Let's in closing sing hymn number 129, hymn 129. Let's rise up to sing this hymn 129.